the American masses, not just the Benellians. It will make the American masses dignified indeed. As long as American masses feel that their freedom is a freedom that runs out when they leave the neighborhood, there will never be much. They will just be cattle, subjects. But if they wake up to this American truth and this Islamic obligation, that they have the right to be interested in all the affairs of human beings on this whole earth. And we have an obligation to support the just causes of people all over this earth. The learned Maulana Maududi and others of the learned scholars, they have told us, the Muslims, how we are obligated in the international world. That Prophet Muhammad didn't come to us with an ideology that is limited. He came to us with a world ideology that has the power to reform the whole world. We have goods for all the people of the world. And this religion, it makes our concerns come to life. It makes our concerns come to life, blossom in full, where we are not apt, if we are really Muslims indeed in touch with this knowledge, to ignore the injustices that are happening around the globe. Now, isn't our first obligation to those things that are nearest to us? The Muslim, he must give charity. But isn't his first obligation to at least give his family a living that they can survive with? Yes, we're obligated to build business, build schools, to contribute to hospitals, to do all these things. But aren't the first obligation right at home with those little ones that are looking to us for the next mouthful of food? Yes, this is Islam. And then the obligation extends out to embrace the whole humanity. But first, in the international world, our obligation is to Muslims. Because we are Muslims. Can a Muslim step over a Muslim to help a Christian? Or step over a Muslim to help a Jew? Heavens forbid. We can't do that. The Muslim must be sensitive to the needs of the Muslim and attend first matters first. If Muslims are oppressed in Palestine, if Muslims are kicked out of their homes in Palestine, say, oh, the imam want a gift from Palestine. Look, they know they can't give me 1 cent. They can give the dean something. They can give propagation something in America. They can't give me 1 cent. Allah has blessed me to not want a penny for myself. And I don't ask them for any money. To tell you the truth, it's an insult that they would offer me money to do the thing that I'm obligated to do. I'm obligated. Your money doesn't obligate me. The Quran obligates me to speak for the rights of all human beings. And these are Muslim Palestinians. So don't us be silly like the average American. Have a mind that can be changed by the media manipulation. On the Palestinian side this week, and next week on the Israeli side. That's what the media manipulation does. It makes the American people sympathetic toward the Palestinians, and any time they want, they can turn that sympathy off and turn that sympathy in favor of the Israelis. We are not subject to that kind of manipulation. We follow the Quran. So our sympathy should be with the Palestinian people. Why? Because justice is with the Palestinian people. The right is with the Palestinian people. They came in desperation and picked up scripture as old as mold. Older than that. older than cobwebs in the Egyptian tomb. They picked up that, dusted off, and we don't even know it from God. They say it's from God. That's our land. And we don't even know whether they still have a right to that land or not. They done married and intermarried and left the religion and left the country so many hundreds of years ago. And now they come back and say, look, you all are not us. God didn't say you all were supposed to live here. Say, what you mean? Where's your proof? This piece of scroll we found in the tomb with dust on it. Half torn apart, rotten out. It says that this is ours. Well, is this international justice? Is this respecting the international law? That a people come up with a little paper and say they have a right to move people out of their homes, move women, children, old people out of their homes, take their homes and live in them, and keep the people out in the desert, laying on the sand, some of them without tents, until they can get a tent? No, this is a great evil. And we can go on talking about this. There's nothing but evil and injustice in it. I'm not saying that the Palestinians should not also have a rational attitude, or should not also respect decency and respect realities. Certainly, they should. And they have a willingness to do that. But first, the opposite side have to show some kind of human sense, some kind of rational sense on their part. And so far, the Israelis have not shown any kind of human sense, any kind of rational sense in their negotiation, in their efforts to relieve the Middle East crisis. So we can't be with them. If I was a Christian, I couldn't be with them, not with my moral thinking. No. If I was a Jew with my moral thinking, I couldn't be with the Israelis. But I'm a Muslim. That makes me stronger against that. Look, go out and tell the CIA, the FBI, and all of them that if I was over there, I would have a machine gun. If I couldn't shoot it, I would learn how to shoot it. I would have any weapon that I could use to remove those crazy, heartless people away from my home. Could any of us accept that if people come from abroad and come in and move us out of our homes, our babies out of our home, and tell us to stand outside of the border where there's no home, no food, stand in the desert, let some of your people rescue you? This is ours. Our scripture says it. We would all die. And the Palestinians, they will all die before they give up their right. And I love and respect those people. Because they are willing to die for their rights. And let me tell you something here today. I hate to prolong it like this. Let me tell you something here today. You American blacks, you Bilalians, you risk your life for a dollar. You go out and rob somebody, risk your life for a dollar. You go rob a store, risk your life for a dollar. You rob old women, rob old men, rob young people, rob business people, risking your life for a dollar. You sell narcotics, risking your life for a dollar. You die horrible deaths in your criminal activities. But you don't have the courage to stand up with me and demand your right as a citizen of America. What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? Huh? What's wrong with you? You have the courage to risk your life to take a woman's purse that has $50 or $5 or 50 cents in it. You have the courage to risk your life working for the Greeks or the Italians or somebody else peddling dope. And if you betray them, they will beat you and kill you miserably. But you don't have the courage to stand up for your own dignity under my leadership. have the courage to support an economic program that will bring economic justice and dignity and rights to us. You don't have the courage to support me. You fear the white man might not like you giving that kind of support. You don't. You're a soldier. You will risk your life. You will shed your blood, but for empty, frivolous things. You will shed your blood and lose your life and suffer horrible tortures for empty, foolish things. That does nothing but further corrupt and further reduces the dignity and worth of the community. You ought to think about that. When I see the Palestinians standing up for his rights, when I see any people, the people of Afghanistan standing up for their rights, facing the bullets, for justice's sake, for the dignity of their people, for their noble principles as Muslims, then I think about you over here, carrying the gun too, losing your lives too, for things that reduce the dignity of the community. And I say, I wish I was in Afghanistan with a gun. I want to be with those soldiers. I wish I was somewhere with soldiers, with men that fight for dignity. Dear beloved Muslim, if we don't wake up to the great crime that we're doing, shaming ourselves as human beings, especially in this religion, by conducting ourselves in a way that cheapens life, instead of standing up as men. When will the Caucasian respect us? Don't you know they're playing with us now? Don't you know President Reagan and his administration are playing with us now? Don't you know President Carter and his administration played with us then? Pacified us with welfare promises that we don't have nothing to do but wait for a check. Contributing to the femininity of the male and the masculinity of our wives. Giving our wife the role of provider. She get the check and then she feed the children and then she let us sneak in the back door and eat a little bit. Yes, the socialist program, it disrespects our dignity in this country. Their social program disrespects our dignity. And the trick that the Republicans are playing disrespects our dignity. Telling us that there is opportunity, you have to suffer first. There is opportunity, but you must suffer first. That man must make his living with his own hands and muscles, but telling us, giving us no guidelines, giving us no direction. Not telling us how this is possible. What effort have they made so far? We are going to give him a chance. He's just in there for a little while. But what effort have they made so far to give us some kind of practical guidance for achieving this opportunity that they say exists for all Americans to make a profitable life? No. We don't see it. They're not giving us any kind of guidance, no kind of direction. They're just saying, this is America. A free society. And the blacks now have to start thinking differently. They have to start thinking now that they have an opportunity to become economically active, economically involved. He should address those barriers that stand in the way of that kind of initiative. We are humiliated. We are humbled by the realities that are existing out there in the business world. We know how ominous the challenge is. We know that it's very hard for us to go out there and make some headway because of the realities, the barriers that are in the way. We know that this society is subtle, wicked. They'll take advantage of the weak man. You can't get started.
Now, we are willing to fight this. I've been fighting it all my life. I'll never give it up. I'll never give up. And I'm now trying to fight it with you. Trying to fight it as you, with you, a combination with you, and in cooperation with you. I'm trying to fight it. But I see you're so intimidated. You don't have the courage to take the initiative. Yes. And I wish the president would address the problem, the economic problems that are in our way because we are Belalian, that is, because we are black, we are not white, and because we are small little people. He should address these things. If they can give us preferential treatment in the tax, in the benefits, the use of tax that are collected, or some other benefits, preferential treatment, how come he can't give us preferential treatment respecting our disability as small people and as black people? How come he says can't say, look, Americans, I want these people to get into business. I want them to get their fair share of the American economy. But in order for them to get that fair share, our attitudes toward them has to change. You businessmen, I don't want to catch you dealing in any double way with the people, slighting the African American. You businessmen, I don't want you to threaten these people. They are a burden on us because of their non-profitable lives. And we want to solve that problem. So if any of you all threaten them when they get into these big things, you're going to have to answer to the government. That would give us encouragement. Then we would get out there and we begin to negotiate, we begin to bargain, we'd come together, we'd pool our money, we'd say, look, we don't have to face too much opposition. The way is not going to be so hard. But the Republican administration hasn't addressed this problem, which tells me that they are playing with us too. The Democrats and the Republicans is a seesaw for us. You go up and you go down. You see and you saw. Yes, it's here and it's gone. Isn't that the truth? Yes. All right. So understand, our future is in following the Quran, following Prophet Muhammad, and coming together under one leadership among ourselves. And being willing to shed blood, being willing to die for our American right and our Muslim dignity. Praise be to Allah Most High. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, wa lillahi alhamd. Oh Allah, we seek your guidance. We ask mercy and forgiveness from you only. And we pray that you preserve us, our Muslim life, preserve our faith, keep our hearts sound, keep us in the straight way, keep our senses rational. O Allah, bless us to be brave for your sake. Let us be among the people that you have asked, that you have called for, that fear not the criticisms of this world, but seek your pleasure. Ameen.
Ameen.
Praise be to Allah. Let us have joyful Eid. The Eid means a recurring happiness. It comes every time on time. So let us celebrate the day, have a good feast, treat each other with the kindness of our hearts, being charitable and loving, practice good Muslim courtesies that used to be American courtesies too. Maybe those tender kindnesses, sympathies will come back to the American people too, but I think we have a role to perform in this respect, to practice kindness and courtesy, tenderness between each other, so that the American people will see in us at least a human example. Many of them love that. Many of them are with us. Don't think that we are alone in America. Many of the Americans are with us who are not Muslims. They are with us. They are quiet.
And maybe one day they will be the silent majority who will help us get on top. Inshallah. As-salamu alaykum.
We'll make seven takbir in the first, before the first rak'ah, and five takbir before the second rak'ah. Allahu Akbar.
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 Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim Maliki Yawmiddin Iyyaka Na'budu Wa Iyyaka Nasta'in اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين
آمين.
سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى والذي قدر فهدى والذي أخرج المرعى فجعله غثاء أهوى نقرئك فلا تنسى إلا ما شاء الله إنه يعلم الجهر وما يخفى سيذكر من يخشى ويتجنبها الأتقى الذي يصلى نارا كبرى ثم لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى إن هذا لفي الصحف الأولى صحف إبراهيم وموسى الله أكبر
الله أكبر
سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله
الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين
آمين.
والضحى والليل إذا سجى ما ودعك ربك وما قلى وللآخرة خير لك من الأولى ولسوف يعطيك ربك فترضى ألم يجدك يتيما فآوى ووجدك ضالا فهدى ووجدك عائلا فأغنى فأما اليتيم فلا تقهر وأما السائل فلا تنهر وأما بنعمة ربك فحدث. الله أكبر
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 سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر
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 السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله I'm going to ask a brother who is visiting us with a group from his community. Actually, he is here from out of the country. He's here from Pakistan. But he's here doing Islamic work, da'wah. I'm going to ask him to come and make a du'a for all of us.
I come from a far off country, but As Muslim hearts beat together, I have been studying what is happening in America. There is a Jamaat in Pakistan and in India. They call themselves Jamaat-e-Tabligh. And there, in Pakistan and in India, they call themselves Jamaat-e-Tabligh. And there, I am an old man, and my heart is too soft, I should say. It's hard for me to bear with all this honor that Allah has conferred upon me through your Imam and through your community. Wherever I have gone, San Jose, Portland, Salem, I have met very beautiful people of your community, Biralians. Subhanallah. And I was saying that our hearts beat together wherever we may be. When Muhammad Ali turned from his original name to a Muhammadan name, it was felt by every single Muslim as a great, great achievement, as a success. And similar is the case with Elijah Muhammad. We have been studying him since, I should say, the very beginning, as soon as newspapers in Pakistan and in India published news about him. What we heard from our Jamaat-e-Tabligh in the beginning was that he is far, far off from Islam. Then slowly, slowly we heard that he is coming nearer and nearer. And it was the most happy news for us when we heard that his son has been studying Islam in its true perspective. Allahu Akbar. And then, as we are all mortals, his time came and he passed away. In Islam, hereditary succession is not a necessity. It can only be permitted if the son deserves to be the successor. And in this case, again I will say, this is exceptional that the son has surpassed his father in every respect. And I'm sure that the father will be pleased with what is happening with you through his son. I don't want to make a long speech. I only want to say that it was my good fortune to meet an American lady, Rabia Martin by name, in 1926. Then 36 years after, I meet another American Muslim, Sufi Ahmad Murad Chishti. His original name was Samuel Lewis, and he is known here as Murshid Lewis. I came in touch with him, then we corresponded together, then he passed away in 1971. I won't dilate upon the subject. I simply want to say that through this connection, the people who followed him here, and there are many, many. I will say, he wrote in a letter just before his death to me that my following has entered into four figures, that is 1,000. And since his death, the work has been taken on and it is going forward and forward. They are not true Muslims in any sense at all. They are followers of Hazrat Inayat Khan, who was basically a theosophist, although he never confessed to be that, but the way he interpreted Islam is like what Raja Ram Mohan Roy did, what Rabindranath Tagore did, and what was done by Mrs. Annie Besant, who has written the best books on Islam and on our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they accept the greatness of the Prophet without doubt, but they follow in a certain way which is not what it should be. And I am hoping that singularly I came here with the idea of staying for a few weeks, but my stay has been extended over months and months. Still I feel lonely. I need help. If you people were to join hands with me, it will be very easy to gain thousands and thousands of American Muslims who are real jewels. And I'll conclude by saying that I will present two of them here, and if the Imam permits me, I'll present another two in San Husay. Their names, Bilal Hyde and Marzi. He is from Finland, a Finnish, but he's a real jewel. He's doing as much for Islam as I could expect anybody to do. And with that, I conclude, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. And the best of du'as, Ihdina Siratal Mustaqeem. Ihdina Siratal Mustaqeem. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين.
الله أكبر. جزاكم الله خير. جزاكم الله خير. May Allah bless him with every good. He's a wonderful person. I can easily know that because of the faith that radiates from him. And we would like to assist him in any way possible. We would like to work together for the good of Islam in America. And we hope that we will be in touch with him more so we can learn from him how we can go about assisting him in his efforts to bring more Americans into the religion of Islam. Now I would like to ask one of his, yes, Dawood, I would like to ask him to come and recite from Quran, and I wish he would say some words to us too. You see what color he is? He is my brother, I know it.
This is my imam. Inshallah, I've had so much inspiration from the people here today, and I thank you so much for making us feel welcome and such a spirit of Islam. So beautiful.
أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألف لام ميم الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم نزل عليك الكتاب بالحق مصدقا لما بين يديه وأنزل التوراة والإنجيل من وأنزل الفرقان إن الذين كفروا بآيات الله لهم عذاب شديد والله عزيز ذو انتقام إن الله لا يخفى عليه شيء في الأرض ولا في السماء هو الذي يصوركم في الأرحام كيف يشاء لا إله إلا هو العزيز الحكيم هو الذي أنزل عليك آيات محكمات هن أم الكتاب وأخر متشابهات فأما الذين في قلوبهم زيغ فيتبعون ما تشابه منه ابتغاء الفتنة وابتغاء تأويله وما يعلم تأويله إلا الله والراسخون في العلم يقولون آمنا به كل من عند ربنا وما يذكر إلا أولو الألباب ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب ربنا إنك جامع الناس ليوم لا ريب فيه إن الله لا يخلف الميعاد إن الله لا يخلف الميعاد
صدق الله العظيم
تكبير الله أكبر
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته My dear and beloved brothers and sisters in Islam this opportunity to speak before such a shining gathering is something that's very dear to my heart and I praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala I don't want to talk a long time because you've already heard many words from much better people than me. I simply want to say that 3 years ago I was in India as a missionary and I discovered Islam there. And 2 years before I took Shahada, I searched for Islam. I searched for the truth. I searched for what Allah was trying to do with these people because I was in constant contact with them. And I met a Jamaat of very fundamental but very deep-hearted and deep-thinking Muslims. It's called the Tabligh Jamaat. The Sheikh just mentioned it. And they told me something of the heart of Islam. They were active people. They went out in the community. They took responsibility for seeing Islam established. And I followed them for 3 years. And when I came back to America, I traveled in this country. They have a process of going out in Jamaat for like 4 months at a time or something like this. And as I was with this Jamaat in America, in the South, it's a country where you know, it's a place where you know that there have been race problems in America in the past, but there the race problems were most intense. And in the South, the only masjid that I could go into and feel the sense of true Islamic spirit were the masjids that were called Masjid Muhammad or Walaliyah Masjids. And I've had a goal in my heart that one day I would be able to meet and hear Imam Arif Muhammad speak. Alhamdulillah, Allah has given this opportunity, this Eid time. It's been a very special and spiritual Eid for me and my wife. And we've felt it very deeply and intensely, and it's culminated in this. It's the most amazing thing. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I share Dawood's feeling that I also will accept among the Muslims in the United States and in the world that the leaders that I've met that Imam Waridin Muhammad is also my Imam. Inshallah, we pray that together we can work, we can serve this country and this world the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has intended for the people who love Him to do. That we can overcome the fitnas and the small little boundaries that Imam Muhammad was speaking of yesterday, the things that we have to outgrow. We will outgrow these together. We will transform this nation. We will transform the world in the name of Allah. Not in our names. In the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has blessed us in the greatest time of human history to be alive today. We bear the fruits of Islam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his sahabas planted the seeds. We have to bear the fruits. You see. So inshallah we are the most blessed people. May Allah unite us together in one heart, in one mind. Fulfill His purpose in us. I'm so grateful to Allah that I could see you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
This has truly been a blessed Eid for us. So let us now go and we pray Allah that we get all the blessings of this Eid. Ameen. Wassalamu alaikum.
We know that there are other dignitaries in the audience. We don't want to overlook you. I'd just like to mention one, Mr. Kelly, who is here from the Urban League. We welcome all of you. We have plenty of food across the street. Assalamu alaikum. I would like to, may I have your attention? May I have your attention? Immediately after we eat, we are going to come back over and enjoy some Muslim entertainment. Our ensemble and some other entertainers. We'll come back to this Masjid Auditorium. Thank you.
Thank you.